probably have that up there right away. Of course. I want to thank Augusta too for filling in for Dan and Deidre who are on vacation, because they went without a hitch.
Hello. In Romanian, we'll say pace, which means peace of the Lord be with you. So we'll say pace. Can you try to say it?
Pace.
Okay, so this church speaks in tongues now. Okay. It's good to be back, I will say. I've been here several times, and I am sure that I left a good impression on you. That's why we came again. No. You know, it's an interesting feeling to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When American missionaries came to our country, and they will say that to us, "No, we feel like we're brothers and sisters here," I thought this is just paddling our, you know, shoulders. Actually, it's that feeling. That with people which you never saw before. And just like that, you're in connection. Because of Jesus, because of the scriptures, because of the Holy Spirit. So it's good to be among brothers and sisters. It's good to be with my friends. Steve is a very good friend of mine. Also, Kevin is a good friend of mine. And it's good to be here because this church, it's like mine, full of humor. I am a person of jokes. I like to joke. And, you know, Spurgeon, the great British preacher, was criticized a lot for his jokes. And he said, "If they will know how much I restrain myself, they won't criticize, they will just praise God." So it's, I'm not Spurgeon, I don't want to say that, but I restrain myself. You know, I like to be here because it's like at home we sing for those which are having their birthday. And it's like at home because I feel sorry for all those ladies who married to you and to, you know. I mean, 50 years, well, you are a saint. Let me say, she's a saint, yeah, she's a saint, yeah. God bless you. You did well. You endured a lot. That's, no, we do the same kind of jokes. But one of the things we do, we sing. And it's amazing to have a song which it's well known in English and in Romanian, and not because you've stolen our songs, but because we translated the songs you have. So I like to sing with Steve a song which I know for sure you know it. It's number 244?
524.
Yeah, I said 524, yeah. I said that, yeah. And it's a well-known hymn. Just join and sing with us. It's because of Calvary we can stay here as saved people. And by the way, if you will enjoy the moment, all the credit comes to me. If it's kind of, you know, then...
We're going to try...
practicing a little bit for heaven. So, well, first of all, I wanted to say, you know, Kevin got married, was that long ago?
Yeah. 38
years ago. I remember sitting up here, they had a cart with lights around it. You know, back in those days, when we got married, it was like, you know, do you, I do, you know, you're married, goodbye. But my brothers and I sang a song for Kevin and Cindy at their wedding. So anyway, we're going to try practicing for heaven. So it's 524 at Calvary.
I would like a little bit of help from you. Can you open the scriptures in Romans 16 and read for me aloud? Some of you just take a verse of, or two and read. Let's do it from verse 1 till verse 7. I mean, we could go up to 16, but it will take forever to pronounce all those names. So let's do it from verse 1 to verse 7. So just pick up a verse or two and read it for us in this morning. Let's read. Yeah.
I command you, our sister Phoebe, a servant of the Church of Caesarea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help many people, including me. How long do you want me to read?
Let others read from verse 3. Just jump in. Yeah, read.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles.
5.
Also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epinetus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you.
And 7, please.
Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you for reading the scriptures with me. A couple of months ago, I saw a movie. It's called 5 Feet Apart. 5 Feet Apart. It's a movie of two teenagers which fall in love. You know, and they like each other, they love each other. But both of them have a problem. They have a disease, a bacteria, which I can't pronounce. I will broke my tongue if I try to say it in English. But they have a disease. They can't stay near one each other. They have to be all the time 5 feet apart. Actually, they have a stick between them. They will walk, but with a stick between them. So always the distance will be kept. They can't touch each other. Because of that bacteria, they will get contacted and they will die. So the movie shows the power of a touch. I mean, I was watching that movie and I was thinking how powerful is a touch. And we take it for granted, you know. And sometimes we don't take advantage of the power of a touch. But that's the power of a touch, you know. And I, watching that movie, and I remembered how good it was when somebody touched my shoulder praying for me. And sometimes we should appreciate more that. But then I was thinking in another way, how others touched my life. You know, you all can go back with your memories and think to people who touched deeply your life. You were in a moment of crisis. You were in a moment of lostness. You didn't know what to do. You were down. And somebody sent by God came in your life. Maybe your wife, your husband. Somebody came, and the pastor, and touched your life. And you are who you are. You are where you are because somebody really touched your life. So, you know, that we are in this world with a call to touch others' life, to leave good marks on others' life, to be there for people to touch their lives. So I was thinking this morning, just to look in these scriptures and raise an answer to this question, how do we deeply touch others' life? How you and me, how can we touch in a significant way others' life? You know, we are not here for us in this world. Although the culture tells us all the time that it's all about me, it's all about mine, it's all about I. No? We are here in this world for others. Our life, it's not about us, but it's about living a life which really touches others. So how can we deeply touch others' life? Let me share a few answers from the scriptures we read. And I will put them together in a way we can finish it by 1 o'clock. But let me just stay with the scriptures. How can we deeply touch others' life? The first answer is this. We can touch others' life by considering ourselves full-time ministers each day. We really touch others' life when we live our life as full-time ministers each day or day by day. When we look at ourselves and we say, I am a minister of God in my daily life, in my setting where God placed me. You know, we have done a great mistake when we started to divide things. Full-time ministers and church comers or goers. That's a huge mistake. And maybe that's why we are not really touching people's life, because we kind of think of ourselves churchgoers, members, and full-time ministers. But if we really want to touch the life of those which are around us, maybe our family, maybe our neighbors, even our enemies, we need to think of ourselves as full-time ministers. In the scripture we have, verse 1, I commend to you our sister, and I think I can try this one, Phoebe. She's a servant, or the Greek word is a deacon of the church in that place, which I won't mention. I don't want to break my tongue. She's a servant of the church. She's a deacon of the church. And deacon doesn't mean that she was in charge of the church, like a deacon will serve today. The word deacon here means just a servant. And most of the deacons in that time, they were helping people in need. That was their ministry. So this Phoebe, she will help the poor. She will feed the hungry. She will she will help those traveling and having no place to stay over the night. The church where she was a part of, it was at a port sea, at a seaport, and her ministry was if Christians came, to make sure they have a place where to stay and integrate in church. And the idea is that she looked at her life as a minister of God. She was a rich woman. She had some finances, some businesses maybe, but she took her life and she considered herself a minister. She wasn't ordained, she wasn't the pastor, she wasn't the full-time minister, but she looked at herself as a ministry life, as a minister in life. And if you read all the names in the first 16 verses, you will realize that all these people, which were, by their names, we know from history, they were slaves. And they were the ones which were working, the ones which were always to do the jobs nobody wanted to do. They took their life and they said to themselves, I am not a slave of whoever, but I am a minister of Christ. Being a slave of whoever is my master. And they lived their life as ministers. Just look, for example, verse number 3. greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Greet, verse 6, this is safe, I can say it. Greet Mary, who worked very hard. And the idea is not that she had a job and she did chores very hard. It's the same word, like to work for God, to do ministry. So this lady, whatever she have done, she considered herself with the daily duties, a minister of God. So let me just speak. We need to change the lens and look at ourselves as ministers. Wherever you are a minister raising that child for God. You are a minister leading your family in the godly way. You are a minister just being a good Christian where God placed you and using all the opportunities which are coming as a minister of God. If we don't change the lens, then we are not gonna touch people's life. So how do we deeply touch others' life? I will say that we need to look at ourselves as being full-time ministers, day by day. In the same way as a mother, it's a mother 24 hours each day. But, you know, this is good, it's a good mentality. But sometimes we need concrete ways in which we can touch others' life. So let me give you a second answer. How can we really touch others' life? We can do that by helping people exactly when they need. We can deeply touch others' lives by helping people exactly when they need. If you look in the scriptures we read, that's one of the ideas coming out. I mean, this Phoebe, she was, of course, a deacon, a servant. But the idea is that she helped people as a servant exactly when they needed it. I mean, they were hungry. She didn't feed them 20 years later. They needed a blanket. They needed it then when it was cold. She gave them the blanket when they needed it. Somebody was... just lost in the city without any connection. She made connection at that time. The point is that we can help, we can touch others' life by being there for them exactly when they need us. If you read verse 7, that couple there, Paul says, they have been in prison with me. Let me explain what means to be in prison in this text. In the Roman Empire, they had no all the 5-star jails we have in some of the countries in Europe. You go in jail in Germany, Norway, Denmark, you are in a hotel. They have TV screens, they have one or two beds in a room, a shower. AC when it's hot. For some, it's better than they have at home. No, in those times, no, you had no food, no heating, no care. The only thing they did is that they kept you there. But they allowed, by the law, someone to come in and move with you. In the same way we allow someone to go in hospital with someone who is sick and allow him to stay there and take care. So that's what that was prison in many places in Roman Empire. So this couple came next to Paul. In a time when Paul was in prison, they went and put themselves there. They brought food, they brought a blanket, they brought medicines. But mostly they brought themselves, bringing encouragement. And they were there for Paul exactly when he needed. Paul wasn't a super saint which never needed someone else's help. He was in times when he needed someone to be there for him. So Paul mentions them because he was touched by their coming next to him. So what I'm saying is that we can touch people's life by being there for people exactly when they need. In the moment when they need us. You know, it's like a good rain for the farmers. You know, so there is that moment when you need the rain on time. You planted the seed. You want the crops to grow. You want not, you don't want too much. You don't want it too late. You know, there are some moments when the rain comes exactly on time. That's how we should be for people. If we want to really touch others' life, we need to be like rain on the right time. We need to be there for people when they need us. And how many opportunities we have? I mean, all around us, people suffer. All around us, people have wounds. All around us, there are so many opportunities, and we can touch those people just being for them. Sometimes a new family moves in next to your neighboring, close to you. You know that cake, that welcoming cake? Sometimes a mother is just exhausted with her kids. Just taking the kids 2-3 hours from her and allow her to get a little bit of rest and to renew her strength. That means to be there for her. Sometimes somebody is in a cancer treatment like we heard. And somebody has to be there for her. Maybe to drive, maybe to cook, maybe just to be there and be available in whatever way we can be. That's how we touch people's life, by seeing the need and be there at the right time. And may the Lord forgive us for many opportunities we had to touch people's life being there and we weren't. And may God give us wisdom and desire and use all the opportunities we have to touch people's life by being there for them. In Romania, we'll say amen after such a concluding sentence.
Amen.
But, you know, when we want to touch people's life, yes, we need to consider ourselves in full-time ministry. It's not just Kevin and Alex. It's all of us are ministers. It's good to do that. It's good to help people exactly when they need. That's how we help them. But let me just point another way we can touch people's life. We can really touch people's life by treating them in the most honorable way possible. We touch people's life by treating them in the most honorable way. And listen to me. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be the best singer in the world. But the way you treat others, maybe your family, maybe your neighbors, maybe even your enemies, you can touch their life. Let me show it from the scriptures. Just by the fact that Paul mentions these names, he is a Jew, and he mentions all these pagans. It's an honorable way to treat them. Just by recognizing what they have done in ministry, my fellow worker, hard worker, it's treating them in an honorable way. mentioning woman name. I mean, you know how they treated woman in that time. Just by, and this passage is full with woman name. That means that he knew to treat well all the people. And sometimes the way we treat people will deeply touch their life in a way or in another. But Paul wasn't just polite. Paul treated well the people around him because of his conviction that each one of us is a creature of God. God created us in God's image. I will just mention one word which was part of his thinking. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8. That was their thinking about people. I mean, they are created by God. They are God's image. And God gave them honor and glory. And they need to treat them in an honorable way. And the way we do this, when we do this, we really enhance their glory and their honor. And when we do this, we touch people's life. You know, have you ever seen a father for the first time holding his baby? He's scared. He makes sure he's not broken all the bones. That's the way we have to treat people. Have you seen how a surgeon does a heart surgery? Sometimes they will open and just work there, you know, in the heart and do whatever they have to do. Do you think they are like a mechanic just pressing their things? No. They will be very delicate. That's the way we have to treat people. That's the way we show that we believe all people are created in God's image. Sometimes we can acknowledge what they did. We can say like Paul, you are my good friend, you are my fellow worker. Yes, you did that in a good way. Sometimes we can stop accusing people of things which they never did. Sometimes we can stop from putting names and for just, you know, talking bad about others. There is a way all the time to treat people in the most honorable way. And when we do that, we really touch people's life. Do you remember when somebody didn't honor you in the way they dealt with you? Do you remember the harsh words? Do you remember when you were abused verbally by someone? Did you enjoy it? Do you look for more of that? No. But do you remember when somebody really respected you? Do you remember when even in the middle of an argument, somebody treated you well? That means that they touched your life. So that's the way we should treat people. And let me bring everything together. We are in the business of touching people's life. That means to be a Christian. That doesn't mean we just come at church, sit in the pulpit, enjoy a good service and go home and do our own stuff. No. To be a Christian means that God saved you and sent you in the world around you, to touch others' life. But maybe, like in Romania, it's hard here to bring people in the church. You may invite people for an event and they won't show up. But you know, we are sent by God to touch their lives, not by bringing them in the church, but by being the gospel among them, by living the gospel among them. When you consider yourself a minister, when you are there for them exactly in the need, when they need us, and when we know to treat people in the most honorable way. We live for them the gospel. They don't come to church, we are there, the gospel for them. You know the movie, 5 feet apart? You know that stick, don't touch. We are to live our life not 5 feet apart and no stick. We should touch others' life. And may the Lord help us. And in the day when we'll enter the gates of heaven, in the new earth and heaven which God will create for us, we will greet Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Of course, we'll greet Jesus, Paul, and say, you wrote heavy stuff for us. We didn't understand what all the time. We'll greet many people, I'm sure. But people will come at us and will give us a hug. And they will say, I am here because you had no stick, because you touched my life. For that glory, amen. For that glory, let's touch others' life. Amen.